Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. And now, here's your host, Rick Ingram.
Hi guys, welcome back to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. We have another stranger for you today, and I think by the end of this, it's going to be a friendship that all of us cherish for a very long time. But for now, strangers. Paul? Gwizdala? That's the American pronunciation. How do you actually say it?
Pavel Gwizdala.
Wow. I can't even, I don't know that I can make that sound. Yeah, one more time.
My name is Pavel Gwizdala.
Wow. And that's Polish?
Yes.
You were born in Poland?
No, I was born in Germany.
Listen, man, things are getting shady now. All right, I don't trust Germans who identify as Poles. Poles, is that the correct term?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. That's. I know you're not supposed to say Polak. That's bad, right? That's one that's frowned upon. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome. Thank you for being here. I appreciate that. And
thank you for having me.
So tell us the shirt, unsteal.org. What's going on? So you were a thief of some sort?
Yes. So I'm a repenting thief. I used to shoplift for over a decade in my youth. And then after I stopped shoplifting, I wanted to repay for petty theft one time. So I went to Sears with cash, and the cashier thought I was crazy and didn't want to take the money. And it took a lot of convincing for her to finally do so. And then I had an epiphany for two reasons. I can't be the only person who's shoplifted and felt bad about it.
Right.
And there has to be an easier way.
Sure.
And so for that reason, a few years later, I decided, okay, I'm going to start unsteal.org as just a standalone website, not a company or anything. And I'm going to facilitate petty theft recompense transactions via PayPal. And so I did that. And then I wanted to know if what I was doing was legal. So I made an appointment with the city prosecutor.
Okay.
And I turned myself in. And I said, you know, I've been shoplifting and never got caught. I want to just turn myself in. And also I want to know if what I'm doing is legal by setting up Unsteal. And the city prosecutor forgave me. It was past the statute of limitations. I didn't know that at the time.
Smart. Good call. Right?
And
I feel bad about this, but at the same time, it happened a long time ago, so.
Sincerely, I didn't know that, but
now
I do.
Yeah.
Now I understand why. He didn't press charges and said, no. He gave me a lot of encouragement. He says, your idea has merit, and it stands on its own, and what you're doing is not illegal.
Right.
And I'll never prosecute anyone who repays through your service. And I said, can I get that in writing? He said, no.
So. No. Yeah, he said, absolutely not. Statute of limitation exists.
Yes.
It's one of the best parts about America is that our leadership is so creepy that we started setting up limitations for the crimes we commit so we could be like, look, what I did was really bad, but it was 12 years ago, so forgive and forget. And then a bunch of other guys were like, yeah, I committed those crimes 12 years ago. And so then they just set these random years for when it's okay. What were you shoplifting? What were you stealing? And it was here in America?
Yes. So I came to America when I was 2 years old.
Okay.
It was mostly candy. That's the number one item that I stole. It was just, you know, if you go on a bunch of errands to the stores with your parents, and then if you're lucky, you have to ask them, and maybe they'll buy you one or two candies. And
sure.
I just saw the workaround and realized, okay, you know, I can just steal it, and I can go get as much candy as I wanted. It became a problem where by store number three, I would return stuff from stores number one and two to make more room because I had only so much room in my pockets
to get
what I wanted. And the introduction to stealing was somewhat interesting because the first time I stole something, I didn't know that I stole something. So I was trained to steal from a young age.
Your parents train you?
I don't reveal who trained me because I'll reveal everything about myself, but other people, that's their story
to
tell.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? So I'm an open book, but I don't talk about other people.
Let me say this. Yeah, let me say this. It's not a crime to steal. That's how I feel, personally. I see what you're doing to make things better, but I think what we want to promote is that it's okay to steal, right? Isn't that? That's not okay? Did you have some sort of a religious experience that made you decide this is wrong? What made you decide that stealing is wrong? Shoplifting is a bad thing.
So definitely religion taught me through the Ten Commandments that thou shalt not steal. And then just personal experience tells you, when someone steals from you, it sucks. And no one likes a friend who comes over and steals from your house. So we all know. And so that's part of the motivation of, if stealing wasn't wrong, unsteal didn't have to exist. Because I think there's no point of repaying for what you stole if you're entitled to, because you're so disenfranchised to do so.
Let me ask you this. Corporate America is stealing from all of us every day. So what I'm saying is, don't steal from a person, but if you're going to steal from a large grocery store chain, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Can we agree?
I used to have the exact same mentality where I didn't like stealing.
You used to be right.
I like to just only steal from stores, not from individuals, but it's still wrong, because, you know, communities suffer from not getting the sales tax. So even though it's easy to justify stealing from a big box store, the roads, the schools, the police force, other municipal funds are being affected by the sales tax that they're not getting from the items that are being stolen.
Here's something to consider, though. Should we really be paying taxes? I mean, how many times do we have to pay taxes? Am I right?
Well, we have representation. So in this country, we believe no taxation without representation. And since we're represented, we have to pay taxes.
I'm on to you, Paul. All right? Here's what we need to be focusing on. It's okay to steal. We shouldn't pay taxes. If we do pay taxes, we should be able to choose what to go for, right?
I can see why you came to that conclusion, but as the CFO of Unsteal, I can't agree to that.
All right, so who does your organization steal from the most, right? This has got to be a cover. Because if we're going to go as far as to say unsteal.org, and we're all like, this guy is, he's giving money back, but there's a back end somewhere, isn't there?
So we never take a cut off of any transaction. We actually lose money on every transaction we do because of the cost of the stamp. So I don't ask people to pay me for the cost of the stamp. I pay it out of my own pocket for the stamps.
Dang.
When I return the recompense checks to the board of directors of Fortune 500 retailers, or directly to the stores if it's a small mom and pop business.
Let me ask you this. What's the most stamps you've ever stolen?
I've never stolen a stamp before.
Are you reading me?
But I'm not ashamed to admit that I used to steal, but I never stole stamps.
You never stole stamps?
No.
Wouldn't be a bad business plan. If we're spending money on the stamps and we want to get the money back without losing money, maybe we should start stealing stamps. Rob a mail truck.
I think it would be more streamlined to just automate unsteal without having to use the stamps anymore, if I can get an agreement with PayPal, so that way we can return the money directly from our PayPal account to the victim store's PayPal account. That would be a good way to not have to deal with the snail mail at all.
I think we should steal from PayPal. Is that possible?
Well, Elon Musk started PayPal, and a lot of people like to...
And that guy, he's Creep City, USA.
I almost met him once.
Is that right?
Yeah, so I was working at a satellite factory in El Segundo, and they were giving tours to SpaceX and Hawthorne.
Okay.
And I went with a group of 18 people, and I thought, I have to stand out somehow. I'm going to ask a question. How can I meet Elon Musk? So I just said, to the tour guide, I heard Elon Musk doesn't work in an office. He works in a cubicle because he's humble, but he wants to hear what's going around. Can I please see his cubicle? And they said, well, you all can't see his cubicle, but you can. So they privately took me aside to Elon Musk's cubicle in Hawthorne, and I saw the back of his head, and I was dying to talk to him, but he was busy at work, and it was, you know, around 6:30 p.m., and I didn't have the nerve to. I understand he's probably working on problems for all of us, so I didn't disturb him, didn't ask him a question.
Here's the thing that you're not considering. Elon Musk, bad human being. And he came to a comedy show here one time, and he was with Johnny Depp's ex-wife, Amber Heard. And I guess they're not familiar with how you're supposed to act in society. Or maybe he's just so rich he doesn't think the rules apply to him. But they were acting like they were just sitting at a bar. And so they were just having a conversation in the middle of a comedy show. And that's all the reason why you and I got to figure out how we can steal from Elon Musk.
Or ask him to automate unsteal for us and call it even.
Listen, man.
Call his girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Always hustling. That's what I like about you. You know, you're trying to make this legit. And what I'm saying is, let's steal $1 billion from them and pay back everyone's debt. Is that?
I think it'd be better if we could somehow make politicians repay all the money of funds that they misappropriated or all the bribes that they got. And yep. that way, when they feel guilty about it before they die, let's say they believe in a belief system that has hell in it and they want to make amends right before they die, maybe they can unsteal all the money that they misappropriated back to the public and use that to give us all free education and health care and other benefits for the
society. Is this socialism? Are you pitching socialism right now?
If it's paid by the politicians' private wills, endowments back to society, then yes.
Listen, I don't think we see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. So, to review, we need to steal more. Agreed?
Disagree.
If we can steal only from the uber rich to make ourselves uber rich, that's a good thing, right?
I think that you should just look at fundamental values. Is stealing wrong, yes or no, in any way? If someone were to, you know, pirate media content, that sure. would be stealing that we'd all be offended by, right? So,
not me. I am a firm believer in that the thieves are who we need to give the power to. But I could be wrong on this. So what religion are you? Are you a Christian?
I don't want to identify with any religion to alienate anybody from what I'm trying to do because it's a very polarizing topic. So identifying... No, picking a religion is polarizing. I don't want someone to then write off the idea of unsteal because I identify with any specific religion.
So you're saying you don't want, you know... A Muslim person who's out there stealing, you don't want them to go, hey, I'm not going to give my money back because this guy, he unsteals with Christ.
Exactly.
All right, fair enough.
Hit the nail on the head.
All right.
My girlfriend's Muslim.
Is that right?
Yes.
And does she support your give back the money policies?
Yeah, she's supportive of me.
Yeah.
But most people, to be honest with you, think this idea is kind of crazy.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's pretty nuts. But I feel like you're trying to get into heaven. Is that the plan?
I think that heaven is probably more of a state of mind that you can be in right now. And it's...
I think it's a physical place. It's somewhere between Seattle and Vancouver. I can't prove that. Yeah.
Technically, didn't your girlfriend steal your heart?
Wow. And if that's the case, is there an organization to give it back?
Yeah, I gotta say,
yeah.
That's a very fair point. And yes, she did.
Yeah. Where did you meet your girlfriend?
At the Matador in downtown Fullerton.
At the Matador? That's a bar?
Yes.
Is that a concert venue?
It's a bar that becomes a club at night.
Mm. Interesting. Oh. What kind of things you guys got going on over there?
She was dancing with coworkers as the fifth wheel, and I was with neighbors as the fifth wheel. And I was just closing out my check, and I saw her, and I thought, okay, before I go back to being the fifth wheel, I have to approach her.
Right.
And I asked her to dance with me, and she couldn't hear me because of the music. And her coworker, Jesus, said, you know, oh, he asked you to dance with him. You should dance with him. So thank Jesus that he told her that, and I was able to.
He gave it away. Now we know it's Jesus.
Very attentive.
Yeah.
I'm glad you caught that.
Listen, it's all tricks to try and get to the bottom of what's really going on here.
But,
and that's that Jesus Christ would want us to steal. A lot of people are going to tell you the opposite. They're going to go, look, follow the book. Obviously, do not steal. That's one of the big ones. It does make you wonder, though. There's a lot of crimes out there that are a lot worse than stealing. How did that make the top 10? Do you agree with that?
It makes sense that it's trivialized in society, and it's the most common crime that people sweep under the rug and most likely to not judge other people for committing.
Do you think, because now they made decriminalized it so you can steal less than $900 or something, and it's like a misdemeanor. Do you agree with that policy? Would you like to see any sort of stealing to be criminalized?
I don't know what the right number of value is, but I am concerned about the excessive shoplifting or was that rail car that was
right.
stolen
They're stealing
from
all the Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially when guns get stolen and things like that. So I do agree. I don't know what the exact threshold should be, but for that reason, I limit all unsteal transactions to $200 because there's varying amounts of what the limit is between petty theft and grand theft. I want to make sure that we're only dealing with petty theft, just to keep it simple, because once you go to grand theft, it becomes more complicated.
Sure.
And we're just trying to get an idea going, flying under the radar. I want to go back to how you said the idea is crazy. I thought about, you know, the first time delivering pizzas was announced. Can you imagine the restaurants who thought, what? Someone's just going to call my pizza restaurant, place an order, and then, right. You know, we're going to show up to the house. What if they don't have the money? What if they rob us? It took a while for society to say, yeah, it makes sense that you can call a restaurant and have it delivered to your house. And there's just an honor system that you're going to pay when you get there, if it's cash, for example.
Right.
And so I just think that I have to stick to my guns and keep promoting this is a great idea, that this is how society should function, that there should be an easy mechanism to repay for petty theft. And honestly, it doesn't have to be on Steel. I'm actually trying to get a deal with a different company that has those kiosks that you return your coins through. And so we're in communication, and I would love for, you know, them to have the infrastructure. And, you know, someday I'm definitely going to die. So I want Unsteel to live on past me. And you know, I want the idea to be immortal. So it'd be great. That's why I'm trying to automate it, try to get into kiosks or something. And because I don't make any money off of this, I'm totally fine with handing off this business to anyone else. If PayPal wants to own Unsteel, that's totally fine with me. Or if Walmart wants to set up their own version of Unsteel, and that's totally fine with me.
The moment that one of these corporations takes over Unsteel, they're going to use it to steal money from the American people. Am I right about that? Most likely. Bernie Madoff. Hero, right?
Yeah. I see your line of thinking, and I see.
Okay.
But I just.
One sec. We're going to have to pause really quick because Rick has to go on stage.
Perfect.
And then we'll come right back.
Okay.
As soon as he's done.
All right.
I didn't realize they're going to need you, so.
Yeah.
Just
I assume
right
they. Okay. Say hi. Guys, welcome back. We had to take a quick break because I had to go mediocre the shit out of that crowd in the main room. But I'm back. We still got Paul is how he told me to call him, but that's not his name. He's using an alias because this guy is a big time thief.
Used to be.
We speak,
former.
You're here distracting us while your girlfriend is. Tell me if I'm wrong here. She's breaking into the Comedy Store safe, and she is stealing everything this club has ever earned. Is that right?
And check my pockets before I leave.
Yep.
Because I told you, I've never been caught shoplifting. I had to turn myself in.
What was the most expensive thing you think you stole?
I'd say probably a cell phone.
You stole a cell phone? Dang.
Like what year?
I'd say 2006, maybe.
Okay.
Nice. So you go into a cell phone store, you just pocket a cell phone? How does this work? Did you steal it from someone?
No, it was from a store.
Which, again, is perfectly fine.
This is why they all have those, like, extender.
He's the reason.
They're, like, glued.
Yeah, you can't take him out of the store.
The one time.
And just so you know, I never revealed that before, so just.
This is the first?
Yeah, because the thing is, I don't want to glorify shoplifting and. Also, I'm careful about telling people how I stole things because I don't want to teach people how to steal either. That's not my imperative.
Which brings up an interesting point. What's the best way to steal a cell phone if anyone is listening and looking to get into the thievery business?
The first time I ever stole something, I didn't know I stole something. Mm-hmm. And the way this went down, it wasn't a cell phone. It was the Mace Harlem World CD.
Nice.
And Mace. I was wearing a hooded sweatshirt.
Yep.
And the you know, when I was getting trained how to steal, I went to the store. It was put in the hoodie of my sweatshirt. I didn't know. I left the store, and I was told, congratulations, you just stolen for the first time. I said, no, I didn't. What are you talking about? Check the hoodie of your sweater. And I pulled out Mace Harlem World. And it really corrupted my morals at that age. I was about 8 years old at the time.
Nice. Yeah.
And so explicit
lyrics.
How to steal. Don't steal out of the hood of your sweatshirt. But that's how I stole when I was 8 years old.
Again, we talked about this on the last interview we did. When I steal baseball cards, what I would do is I'd put them in my shoe, and then you just walk right out. No problems. If anyone's looking to get into the business, that's a good way to start. And then from there, what are some other good things to steal?
I'd say just don't slip on a banana peel on the way out because you have the baseball card on your shoe and the coefficient of friction between your sock and the baseball card is going to be lower than just the padding on your shoe.
This guy gets it.
Okay, can I ask some questions about your organization?
Absolutely.
So are you guys like starting out or have you been going for a little bit? Like what's the, how many transactions have you done to this point?
Thank you for this question. So we've done 20 transactions. I started the website in October 2014. I officially incorporated Unsteal Nonprofit Inc. on March 9th, 2015. So it's going to be 7 years. And in those 20 transactions, we've returned $981.54. And okay, as of today, I'm proud to report that every single transaction that's been submitted to us has been deposited by the store.
Okay.
So sometimes it can take a while, up to a year, if someone's returning to a big box store and they've never heard of me and I have to send tons of letters and hunt them down. And I just want to know, I want you to know that every user gets an email from us saying, hey, if you stole from us, PayPal took this much of a fee out. So if you gave me $100, we're getting $97.50. Here's the check for $97.50. I sent it to the store. I'll send them objective evidence of me sending that letter to the store. And then finally, when the $97.50 comes out of our trust account, I'll send a screenshot of our bank account showing the $97.50 coming out for ultimate transparency, because I don't expect you to trust me. I don't expect anybody to trust me. Why should you? I'm a repenting thief. So I realized the only way I can make Unsteal function is to be as transparent as possible.
Right. That's a good philosophy. I like that.
And so we have a platinum seal of transparency from GuideStar, and you can see it on GuideStar.org, okay, and you can see it on our website too. And we also release all of our financial statements. You can see how we spent every penny. We operate on about a $400 a year budget.
Wow.
How many people do you have working for this organization? Is it just you?
Zero. So it's the board of directors is just two people. It's Terry Shulman and myself. And Terry Shulman is the leading expert on shoplifting behavior. He's been on 100 television programs. He's been on the Oprah Winfrey show, and he's been on her couch. And he's the CEO, and he's written four different books on shoplifting and hoarding and employee theft. And so we also have volunteers. So right now I have two volunteers I'm really grateful for you who are updating our website. And I've had previous volunteers for social media content and graphic designers who helped us design the Unsteal boxes. And occasionally we hire professionals. Like I hired a lawyer for the privacy policy and the terms and conditions. I hired a lawyer to file to get the 501c3 nonprofit status from the IRS. It's to be completely legit.
And that's basically all been out of pocket for you, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, and I had a background where I audited nonprofit organizations when I used to volunteer for the Employees Community Fund of Boeing, California. And so we would pool money from all our paychecks, and it'd be so much money because there's so many employees and they made a lot of money. And so quarterly we'd give out huge grants. And so I would volunteer on behalf of them to go visit all these different nonprofit organizations such as Homeboy Industries. And I would check their financial statements and see, are they worthy of a grant, and make a grant recommendation. So I did this 14 times. So I knew what a good nonprofit looks like, what their financials look like. So I had thorough training in what a nonprofit organization should be. And I knew I wanted to start one, but I didn't know what. And then that epiphany happened when I was repaying for my own petty theft. And I realized that I'm uniquely qualified and trained to facilitate a nonprofit that handles recompense payments for petty theft, because I know how to do it. And I care about it because I used to do it.
Right.
So it takes that Venn diagram of people who know how to do it and care about it to make it happen.
It's un-American what your organization does. And it's one of these situations where, in my mind, because I've lived here my whole life, I'm going, so this dude stopped stealing. What did he move on to? Because in order to put this much effort into doing good, you know, there's some serial killer type tendencies going on in the back of your mind. I'm going, you know, is this John Wayne Gacy out there doing clowning at children's parties because he's really murdering people? What's the real secret? What are you up to?
So life has been incredibly rewarding since I've started pursuing this. So even the aforementioned girlfriend that I met at Matador, on the night that I met her, I told her about Unsteal and what I do, and she told me later on that that was one of the things that draw her to me, that I was just open and honest about my flaws, my mistakes, mm-hmm. and owning them and doing something about them. So I'll be honest with you, I get worried all the time. I have a tattoo right here of the Unsteal logo on my hand, and I work.
It's a good logo.
Thank you. So it's a black U with the green arrow inside because we returned the green with the money in this currency. And I'm worried all the time that it's going to cripple my career because I have a full-time job. I don't make any money doing what I do with Unsteal. So I used to work in aerospace. Now I work in medical device. And I was always worried, like, okay, they're going to find this out about me and who's going to want to hire me. It's almost like a joke. If you said, oh, what's your biggest weakness at a job interview? Oh, I used to steal all the time. Well, then don't hire this guy. So I have to play that, you know, fine line and earn everyone's respect and trust. And that's why I have to be super transparent and just own up to, hey, I used to do this. I'm not into that anymore. And the what I get out of it, I get, my life's been super rewarding, get a lot of good opportunities. And I, frankly, someone who used to steal mostly candy, and the cell phone was a rare situation. I can afford to buy a cell phone. I can afford to buy all the candy that I can eat, so I don't need to steal.
Listen to this
more.
Braggart. He's out there. He could buy all of his own candy. Unbelievable.
Have you ever stolen?
Yeah.
Like a lot? Well, besides the baseball card.
Yeah.
Like, was it a repeated thing? Oh, it was.
Yeah. But when I had regular jobs, definitely steal from them.
Like money or just product?
No, but, you know, I guess it depends on what
like
it was.
Here and...
Yeah, like I worked at this post-production house and, you know, they didn't treat everyone great. And so when the boxes of like journals that they had made up to give away as like swag, I just took a bunch of the boxes, you know. So I probably got 400, you know, small notebooks out of that. I don't know what the cost on that is, but I definitely am not paying
it
back.
Did you use all of them?
No, a lot of them I just ended up throwing away when I moved. Right. So I'm like, well, I don't need this many notebooks. It was, the point of it was just to steal.
Yeah.
This is why I feel like you and I, we don't see eye to eye on a lot of this stuff.
You're making me laugh the whole time, so I'm very much enjoying this conversation.
Yeah. I stole in high school for a couple years because a friend introduced me to it. She kind of taught me how to walk into Target and figure out where the cameras were, and just you would stuff things into your clothing, and that's just, and we did that, and we would like go into the parking lot and like look at all the stuff that we got together, right? There was this rush, right?
Yeah.
And that lasted like a year or two, and then as I became an adult and I was actually able to pay for all those things, to this day I still walk out of stores like with my hands out just like so everyone knows I'm not stealing, because I'm so nervous to be accused of something that I'm not doing now.
I'm sitting in a room with a couple of squares right now, all right? Stealing is the coolest. And if you're at home and you're thinking about stealing, now's the time to get into it. Is that not, should we not be promoting that?
Stealing is already super prevalent. You don't have to promote it. In fact, there's 550,000 shoplifting incidents per day, according to the National Association Shoplifting Prevention. Half a billion.
Half a million every day?
Half a million, sorry.
500 million would have been very impressive. And so,
it's just a barter system at that point.
Yeah. Listen, you take me out of the equation, and that's, you know, 200, something like that, because I'm getting easily 300,000 in, if, not
items.
Daily,
items?
But yeah.
Yeah.
You must have some pretty big pockets.
You know, I also have my hands out when I leave stores, but they're filled with the stuff that I'm stealing, because
like,
I'm proud of it.
Just taking the stuff.
I'd be more concerned about the magicians than the comedians, because they do the sleight of hand.
Yeah,
so.
Those are the tricksters. Do you know magic?
No, but I've been to the Magic Castle a few times.
Creepy, right? They're creeps?
I've noticed they all have pretty small hands. And I don't know if that's part of the lifestyle that makes you stay in your room to develop magic skills, or it's what makes you so proficient.
They go,
with
these
the
hands are tiny. I got to figure out a way to use them for good.
Slip them into
Yeah. It's all about being sneaky.
You never know.
Your family, what do they think about you starting this organization? Are they concerned, or are they like, wow, he turned out to be a great kid? Or are they like, obviously the same way I'm thinking, what's this serial killer up to?
They're thinking more of what you're thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Most people think that there's some kind of angle that I have, that I'm trying to monetize it later. Right now, I don't make any money off the transactions, but eventually there's so much money that could be repaid. If I took 1% of it, it could make me rich. So it's understandable to think that way, but...
Zuckerberg's already thinking, how do I get
good.
This company?
Please call me Zuckerberg, take my business. I don't make any money off of it. I'm perfectly satisfied with earning my own income through the unlimited opportunities that I have in this country as an immigrant. So I compare myself to some of my
cousins.
Are you
a Republican?
I don't identify with either party. I register as an independent.
Okay.
I know it's similar to the answer I gave you before.
Yeah, that's what Republicans say, just so you know.
In Southern California.
Yeah. I'm 100% independent, but with that being said.
I'll tell you a story. Here's one time I was working for Boeing, and there was the big election with Obama, McCain, and I asked everyone in the room, okay, which president is better for Boeing so we can do well with business? And they looked at me like an idiot and said, donate so much money to both of them, it doesn't matter who wins. And it made me feel a little disenfranchised, like either party is going to get...
Yeah, no matter what, they're bought by the corporations that are stealing from us, and that's why it's important that you get out there and you take from the big guys.
And repay when you feel bad about it. Especially, imagine if you're going through step 9 and you're an alcoholic and you can make amends for what you did wrong while you were drunk and you stole a beer.
Are you an alcoholic? Is that what led to this?
No, if I was an alcoholic, I wouldn't be drinking this Coors Light. So.
Listen, the best alcoholics embrace who they are.
Stealing brought to you by Coors Light.
Yeah. If you're going to steal, make sure it's an ice cold one with the blue label. Was there ever a time where you had issues with addiction?
Yeah, there was a time where I was addicted to shoplifting, actually. And the benchmark for that is where I stole something that I threw away and never used.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a sign of kleptomania.
Right.
And there would be times where I would leave a store and I would feel bad that I didn't steal something because I knew that I was so experienced and so well-versed and so successful at not getting caught that... When I left the store, it was like, oh, you wasted this opportunity.
Sure.
Almost a shame for not presenting your skill then.
And looking back at it, I realized that's clearly a sign of addictive personality.
Yeah. You ever steal like a jet from Boeing when you were working there? And just walk out with like a jumbo jet of some sort?
I didn't get that far because I wouldn't know how to operate it once I took it. So
it's always the problem. Yeah.
You have to think ahead to figure out how you're going to get away.
I want to know more about you. So, like, you were born in Germany.
Yes.
Okay. And
to Polish parents.
So they were escaping from communism. My mom was pregnant in Poland and escaped to Germany while we were waiting to get our visa to move to America to do the to get approved through the visa process.
Okay. Do you have siblings?
Yes. So I have 3 siblings.
Are you oldest, youngest, middle?
I'm the middle child.
Okay.
What kind of crimes are they more famous for? You're the thief.
I assume everyone has their own.
Yeah, each one of them has something.
Some
crime.
Yeah.
Which commandments
have they Well, my little brother's a doctor, so he's guilty of charging people too much for healthcare.
Amen. That's the American way, though, honestly.
I feel like this goes over well at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he's, he's keeping us medicated as a country, so there's that. What would you think his favorite medication to prescribe because he's being bought by pharmaceutical company?
You said you're in medical sales.
I'm in the medical device industry.
Oh, medical device.
I'm a quality engineer.
Oh, interesting.
Hmm.
Which is why I was so thorough about reviewing Rick Ingram's new album, American Bully, that just came out on February 22nd, 2/22/22. You should check it out. It's only $2.99. You can get it on
This guy's the
iTunes.
Best. Are you autistic?
No.
Are you sure? We might be able to get you, at least diagnose that, and then we'll have to forgive all the stealing, which is going to be great. You can just be like, I'm on the spectrum. And then you don't have to give any of the money back, and you can just start taking the money that people send to you.
And then get disability benefits, too, I heard.
He's good. Yeah, we need him to be the CEO of any company that we choose to start.
I'd say I was a standout student in 7th grade. The Midwest Talent Search sponsored me to take my college entrance exams in 7th grade.
Nice.
And
Did you do it through Duke University?
It was just through the Midwest Talent Search.
That's a thing?
It's a company that sponsors people who do really well in standardized testing in elementary and middle school, and then they ask if you want to skip all of high school altogether and go to college after the seventh grade. So,
wow. Is that what you did?
No, I felt too awkward, especially when I was taking that test as a seventh grader, the juniors in high school. I thought, I'll never get a girlfriend as a seventh grader trying to date. So I thought,
so smart. Your priorities were in the right place.
Seriously.
And by going to high school, I was able to take 8 AP classes. So that way I got enough college credit to start college as a sophomore and get my degree in 3 years, which was instrumental because I graduated in 2008 instead of 2009 when the economy crashed. And I wouldn't have gotten the job at Boeing if I didn't graduate in 2008 earlier because there was a hiring freeze after the economy crashed. So
smart.
What is your, what did you go to college for?
I studied finance.
Finance, okay. Of course you did.
I feel like that makes me shady. Well, I should also admit, I used to sell cars, so.
You used to sell cars?
And I had a full ride to law school, so all the shadiest career options.
Wow.
You've dabbled in it all.
Yeah, you seem like one of the nicest people I've ever met, but at the same time, I'm like, what kind of poison did he put in those donuts? You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit of chloroform.
Yeah.
I have access to them in the medical device industry.
All the doormen here are like, oh, I'm sleeping.
I'm a shady enough person, I guess, that when I got fired from that same post-production house that I stole all the notebooks from, so they wanted me to come work because they had clients or something, and I had an actual weekend doing comedy out of town, and so I told them I couldn't do it, and they basically were like, well, we need someone who can dedicate themselves to this company to do this. And I'm like, all right, well, that's not me. So the following week, they had me training my replacement, which is always a fun thing where you're just like, so I'm losing my job and I have to teach this person how to do this job that I'm not good at.
Oh, no.
I can't even train them well. I'm not even good at this job.
So did you do it with integrity?
Yeah. So I trained them. Yeah. I go, you know what?
Gave him
screw
one
it.
Journal a day. Yeah. And he's like, write down all your thoughts in this.
Yeah. I'm telling him all the important stuff. If you want to steal, do it when you transfer stuff from the storage facility to the office. But my last day, I brought donuts for everyone. I thought it would be like a funny thing. Rick brought donuts. So I brought a bunch of donuts and I put them out and no one would eat them.
Are you serious? You did that?
Yeah.
Isn't that a weird like connection then?
Yeah, kind of. But at the same time, people ate your donuts. So people trust you not knowing
like,
you.
All the doormen here ate your donuts.
Yeah. They should be passing out about 30 minutes.
Yeah. The problem with the plan was you didn't know I was going to have to leave to go do comedy, and that makes it so now we're going to go upstairs and everyone's going to be dead.
And you're going to know why.
Yeah, that parking meter thing was a ruse. That was my escape before I got arrested.
And then you were like, you know what?
But you were too interested in talking to us.
Because he's the kind of person who always tries to make up for the crimes he commits. He decided to come back.
Stayed.
Yeah.
And
that's honestly the overall lesson of Unsteal is if you feel bad about anything, not just shoplifting, there's only 3 steps you have to take is A, stop doing what makes you feel bad.
Okay.
B, make amends for it. And then C, find some way to, you know, completely change your life and go in the opposite direction. And then you can stop anything, whether it's overeating or anything else.
Mm. What if making amends is what makes me feel bad?
Then you shouldn't use Unsteal. It's not for everybody. I understand that.
Oh, look at that.
Dang. That makes it seem nice again, though. Like, you're like, you don't have to give back if you want to just keep the stuff you stole. And now I'm like, okay.
So you had mentioned something about talking to the city prosecutor and asking them about will these people be forgiven, et cetera. So is it anonymous, I imagine?
Yes. So I never disclose the name of my users, but I see the name because when they go through PayPal, there is another alternative. If someone wants to just send a money order from an anonymous source to our company, just put the name of the store and the address, then you can be anonymous. And also, we started placing metal Unsteal boxes in different stores. So we just placed 25 of them in the last year, and the metal boxes just say, hey, stolen from here, we forgive you, repay, 100% goes back to the store. And then you can actually repay in cash and there's no paper trail, and I'll never know.
Can you imagine walking up to that though? Like, how do you do that?
Sure, that's definitely a challenge, and I still don't know what's the best placement of them. Steel boxes, all of them are pretty much by the cashier, so it's very visible.
What if it said donate or pay back?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that people could feel like maybe they're donating, but they're really paying back money.
You're onto something. And one thing I thought about just emphasizing that this is a program to repay anyone who witnessed petty theft. Because even if you committed petty theft, mm-hmm. you witnessed it too as committing it. So that way, anyone who uses Unsteal Box, you can say, oh, it's just because I witnessed a petty theft. Or when there was looting going around recently.
Fight petty theft.
Yeah, so let's say you saw someone shoplift on the news, and you say, okay, I'm going to unsteal to that store in whatever neighborhood.
It's like
in
a pay Cleveland. Forward almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you have a master key to the Unsteal Boxes so that you can steal whatever is put inside of them?
Well, he must, because he has to collect. Someone has to collect it.
So it's a cash box that's owned by the store owner. So I don't know how much money is in it. And when we donate the boxes, because we get them away for free to the store owners, we tell them, hey, after someone puts money in there, take it out right away, because you don't want to be at a risk of someone stealing the box.
Yeah.
Because that actually happened before.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
not that I would do that, but like someone
would,
could
because
steal.
Of the production company experience you had.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
So
damn it,
we had paper
I'm
on
starting
steel.
To not trust this guy as much as I want to trust him.
I'm telling you, don't trust me.
You know all the secrets.
Well, that's why we're super transparent about everything. Yeah. I don't expect
trust
anyone to trust
no
me
one.
Because
also,
I'm admitting my wrong.
When someone tells you they're being transparent, that's the person you can trust the least. I've found.
Yeah.
So
luckily, there's watchdog groups like GuideStar that can verify on their own, and you can trust them.
This guy's got an answer for everything.
Okay,
Very
I have
suspicious.
Another tangent question. Have you been to Poland?
Yes, three times. Yes.
Where did you go in Poland?
So most recently in 2009, I went to Warsaw. I went to Krakow. I went to Przemysl and. I went to Rzeszów, where my parents are from.
Okay.
And the most meaningful by far was going to Krakow, because we went to Auschwitz-Birkenau, and we went to the concentration camp.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting is that there's people from all over the world who visit there, and the tour guides told us that, you know, Germans come here, but they don't take the tour in German, because they offer it in German, but they'll take it in Polish or English or another language. So there seems to be
they don't have
a
to
little
hear
bit
all
of a,
the...
accountability where they don't want to do it in their native tongue.
Yeah.
But, interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely validating from everything that I've learned in history class and seeing pictures to actually seeing it on site and getting the tour where you go into a room where the tour guide's speaking the whole time, and when you go into the chamber, the gas chamber, they'll say, okay, no one's going to talk right now. You're going into a room where 10,000 people have died, so
right.
you don't talk right now, and you're in a room full of ghosts, and
wow.
there's nothing that can describe that.
The
and
Germans are probably all chit-chatty, though, because they're terrible
they're
people.
They're like great engineering.
Yeah. Yeah.
These walls are
That's
wonderful.
Unbelievable to be in the presence of so much greatness, and you're like, whoa, Germany, keep it cool.
I'm happy we brought that up.
So I went to Warsaw like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and I went for like 4.5 days. So, which a lot of my trips end up being like 4.5, 5 days. I don't know why I do that to myself going internationally, but I love travel. But I didn't have enough time to go to visit the concentration camps. And I was also like, so many.
She was on the American
trip. I was
trip.
Like, I had to go to a silent disco and I just didn't have time. No. No, that's and really intense for like a day trip.
Good question.
They had all those glasses from the victims and the gold teeth.
Yeah.
And I just thought, no, I didn't steal anything
from
them.
How valuable, though? How valuable?
You got to pay
just
that back.
Just tricked me into making a joke about the concentration camp canceled and unsteal.
Stealing from Nazis is okay because they're bad people.
Yeah.
This is a lot like corporations. I think what.
Yes.
Well,
if they steal
it's
from
exactly
the Jews,
right. What we need to do,
they steal from them.
We need to focus our thievery on the right people. That's all I'm saying. You're saying stealing is bad. I'm saying stealing is okay.
Selective.
If you steal from bad people. It's the same theory as you should never kill someone, obviously. Unless you're killing a murderer or someone who's really bad. Yeah. The Dexter theory.
Oh,
yeah.
But don't you like Dexter? That,
now you're talking like the Book of Mormon where they
right.
said that God allowed to kill Nephi because he was going to kill a lot more other people and contradicted himself against the commandment of thou shalt not kill.
The greater good.
If you were given a time machine, would you go back and kill baby Hitler?
Ooh. would you at least?
Hear me out.
Yes.
You would. You would do it.
Yes.
Hmm. Here's something that I've been thinking about a lot lately. And, you know, it's because I have issues. But why do people always want to kill baby Hitler? You know? Doesn't that seem in poor taste?
Fine. You should nurture his artistic pursuits.
Fine.
Listen, you still got to kill him.
You think he was autistic?
I said you should nurture his artistic pursuits so he's not a failed artist and instead of becoming the Fuhrer.
I'm saying the Fuhrer.
The Fuhrer.
The way he said it.
A little too real. And I'm saying let Hitler grow until he's like 16. And then, you know, then you kill a 16-year-old Hitler.
Like try to have a conversation with him.
Yeah,
talk
to him.
And if it doesn't go well,
you let him know. You go, hey, man, look.
Two options.
You're into painting, and that's cool, but things are going to take a pretty dark turn for you in about 5 to 10 years. And
you're going to feel cool, but it won't be cool.
And so, then you give him the poison donut.
I was wondering if I could change my answer now. Yeah. And instead of killing baby Hitler, can I give his mom the Plan B pill? That seems a little more.
Wow, even further back in.
There you go. That goes further back in time, and I don't have the.
Because it's not even. It's not even murder at that point.
Yeah, it's like the pharmacist who did it. I just supplied.
You're about women's rights. That's really what this has turned into. So,
I'm happy
you support women's rights to choose, and I appreciate that. Especially Hitler's mom. She had more right to choose than anybody.
She chose wrong.
I like how I tried not to be non-polarizing, not identify religion, and he picked abortion and put me on one team. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, well, if Hitler is the opposing team, I think you're on the right team.
Look, you seem like a good guy from the moment you got here, and all I'm trying to do is present another alternative. You know, maybe we don't have to be good people. Maybe it's okay to be a terrible person. Like when it comes to the Ten Commandments, do you think they're all important?
I haven't thought about it that much before you asked me, but I'm not claiming I'm a good person. I'm just offering a way to, you know, clear your conscience if someone feels guilty about petty theft and just setting example. Here's what I did. I went to repay in cash. I saw some difficulty. So by no means am I a good person. I'm a flawed individual. And this podcast is not about me promoting my morals. It's just giving you an option of what to do. And then the more fucked up questions you ask me, the more you're going to find out how fucked up I am. So I'm just trying to avoid it, but I can't help because you're so seductive in your questions.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sounds like the kind of shit a good person.
Yeah,
Have you paid people through your own organization?
So we only facilitate transactions through businesses because we don't want to get exploited for money laundering. So if you stole from your friend, I'll never facilitate a transaction for you to repay from your friend because what if you're money laundering? So I don't want to be caught up in that. So only to stores.
No, but have you paid yourself? Have you used your own or did you pay... You have?
Yeah, I use my own service.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I feel like, I made sure I did the first transaction too, because I don't want to be a hypocrite.
How much was the first transaction?
It was, I have it right here. So let me give you the example.
We were wondering about the papers.
Yeah. So the first transaction was $48.25 after PayPal fees. And that was sent on February 4th, 2016.
What did you steal? Do you remember?
Yes, it was a perfume set.
Okay.
And I remember, I don't want to brag about how I did it. It was very brazen and exploiting my white privilege, and I dressed nicely.
Okay. But you dressed nicely, white privilege, you keistered it, didn't you? Let's be real. You put perfume up the butt. Am I right about this?
And my shit still smells good.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense. That's a smart move. God damn. God damn it. Yeah.
Literally.
It actually doesn't. Unbelievable. So what's the end game here? So eventually we get enough people on board and then we swindle them out of millions. Am I right about this?
So I want to automate Unsteal on the 10-year mark. So that would be March 9th, 2025. Mm-hmm. I would love to have it automated. I would love for that company that has thousands of kiosks where people can bring their change and turn it into dollars to add a function onto their kiosk that say, you know, you can repay for petty theft with this kiosk too. That would be a brilliant collaboration, and it's a revenue stream for them. So I hope it's a win-win-win because it benefits them, me, and society. And honestly, I want to be free from doing this. So it is a burden to run Unsteal. It takes a lot of my time and effort, and I'm happy to do it because I stole from all of you, because when I shoplifted, it made the price of everything more expensive for all of you. So I hurt all of you when I did that, and I'm trying to do everything
I think that's corporate nonsense. I think that when you stole, it didn't affect me at all, but it might have affected the CEO of whatever store you were stealing from, and that's why it's important that we keep stealing.
But when there's a small mom-and-pop business such as the People's Liquor in Bellflower, I know the family that owns that because it was my former coworker's parents who run that store. So stealing from an institution like that is very real, very much hits them. And, you know, there's other unexpected consequences. If you steal too much in a neighborhood, you can get a food desert where corporations will close up shop and not want to have stores there. And then people there get disenfranchised and have to go farther to, you know, get groceries. So there's so many permutations of how stealing can affect the community besides just the CEO, who definitely does get hit. But it's everyone. So that's why it's important that the service is for everyone. And then I want to put it. End on it. About 10 years I'll try to run this, and if people don't buy into it, there's no point to keep running it. The reason I'm talking like this is because there was a year recently where I told you we spent about $400 a year in overhead, and I had $100 in transactions, and just mathematically I can't justify running an organization that is spending four times the amount on overhead than the actual money that it's returning. So ultimately I'm also so grateful you're giving me this platform. Hopefully people will use it more where it makes sense to do it. But if the numbers don't lie, then I have to make the rational decision to shut it down.
So,
and I hope that it's one of those things where people want what they can't have.
Yeah.
I hope that once I shut down on steel in 2025 or something like that, and let's say I don't get that deal to automate and I don't get the deal with the kiosks, well, I hope that 10 years down the road, someone else picks this up and says, hey, no, we Walmart or we the National Retail Federation, we're going to set up our own on steel now that this guy closed up shop and we don't have to worry about trusting him. That still gives me satisfaction to know that I got the ball rolling. I introduced society to this concept of, hey, even though stealing something we throw under the rug, it's significant. If you accidentally stole something you didn't know that you stole it, like you were at the grocery store and something's in your toddler grabbed something in the baby carriage and you walked out with it and it's too much hassle to go back and pay for it, go home, go online. I made it very convenient for you. Go to PayPal. You can repay for the petty theft. And I want that to be standardized. And then I want unsteal boxes in every store. And I want someday people to go to the stores and be like, oh, what is that unsteal box? And then, you know, someone's with their child and can explain to their kid, like, hey, stealing's wrong. And it'll be something that will start the conversation to remind people, hey, stealing's wrong. That's why you have to unsteal. And if you have to steal something like food when you're really poor and hungry, then later on when you do get money, whether it's from a job or from another source of income, repay for it. And then that's a better society for all of us.
Yeah. Well, the only issue I really see with it is that the people who listen to this podcast are terrible people. They're bad humans. We were thieves. We're murderers. What are the other commandments?
People who like
we covet murderers. Thy neighbor's wives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Murder enthusiasts.
Those are the only three that I remember. I know there's more. What are the other ones?
And in the future, when they feel bad about it and they change their ways, and when they see this video,
that's not my audience.
Just so you know, but your podcast is immortalized on the internet, so even after you perish, people will still be watching it.
He's plotting my death. I knew he'd get to
donut?
I knew he'd get to it. Not yet. I'm going to, though. Okay. I'm a risk taker. I'm a risk taker. Me and Winks, we're going to crush this box. Yeah. Listen, man, it's fascinating. I have a horrible view of humanity, so I don't think anyone's going to repay stuff. I don't think people are. Most people don't become good. That's really what it boils down to. They start bad and they get worse. And
that's his. Yes.
No, that's you. Yeah, that's not everybody.
Right. That's most people. Let's be real. Right now, half the people listening to this episode are trying to figure out how to steal from you. That's what they're going.
And the other half feel really bad about all the things they've stolen.
I don't think that's true. I think this might be the only person who's ever felt bad about petty theft.
No, I have. That's why I walk like this out of every store.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I didn't do it.
When Owen Ryder's coming on next week, we'll ask her.
She knows. She doesn't feel bad.
I reached out to her.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. She's She wasn't interested. And
yeah, of course also, not. You know, she's a terrible person.
You know who talks about it openly that's a celebrity is Dwayne Johnson. He talked about it on the Jimmy Kimmel Show that he used to steal a Snickers bar every day on the way to the gym. There was a 7-Eleven that was halfway there, and he would eat a steal Snickers bar for the protein. And he even talked on the Jimmy Kimmel Show about how he wanted to repay for it when he was filming Moana. And he was back at that 7-Eleven. And right before he did it, he saw someone shooting up heroin in the parking lot. So he didn't repay. So since then, I've reached out to him many times. I reached out to his publicist and Rebecca Talley. And I'd be grateful if Dwayne Johnson, if you want to repay for your petty theft,
he doesn't
as
listen
he expressed,
to this, but
I would be happy to
run into him. We'll certainly mention it.
Wait, why didn't he repay it because there's someone shooting heroin?
He was explaining that made him want to leave the parking lot instead of going inside.
Oh, I see.
He gets to get sketched out.
The Rock can't handle the Rock.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think I know what you're saying.
He's the people's champ. He could give him a rock bottom. He could easily beat that guy up.
Yeah, it just seems like
he's like, I can only be that.
Shooting up heroin's not that intimidating. Like, he's definitely not going to come.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
He wants to be the only Rock anywhere he
goes. I think what he was implying was that he ended up doing a little H in the parking lot at 7-Eleven. So you heard it here first.
I was going to eat Snickers.
The Rock does heroin. He does it at 7-Eleven always.
We're so grateful to have someone like you with your twisted perspective always finding.
I see the truth, you know. I can always find a way to make anything terrible. That's my gift.
I think you hold people accountable for sure. Make people look introspectively.
All right, so you're a good guy. Unsteal.org. You're a good guy now. You used to be a real pile of shit. That's what we gathered.
I'd say still work in progress.
Yeah. But you're a better person now. You're going to help people make amends for the bad things they've done. If Zuckerberg wants to buy this and turn it into a corrupt organization, you're okay with that.
Yes.
As long as he pretends to help people give their money back.
Yes.
What's the end goal for you life-wise? What do you want to do in the end? So you say you shut this down after 10 years and then you focused on your life. What's the end goal? What do you want to do?
I just want to be happy and live every moment to the fullest, because as much as we can plan for our life, it's not guaranteed. So
true.
Yeah. So definitely have specific personal and professional goals. Right now, I'm trying to bench 200. I've only benched 180, so that's the short-term goal right now.
My God.
All right.
I liked it. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that at all. I didn't think that we'd get to bench pressing, but...
took a turn at the end.
The guy that brought his donuts, I didn't expect.
Yeah, that's it. Well, he's trying to make sure that we don't get to 200 before he does.
He's bringing us down.
That's not a lot of weight, by the way. That's a very modest amount.
How much is the bar?
I think it's like 35.
35? I think I could do it.
The bar.
Yeah. I guarantee I could do the bar at least 3 or 4 times. I don't want to brag, but I've never done it. But if it's 35 pounds, I could do it 3 or 4 times. No questions asked right now, just with natural ability. So maybe that intimidates you. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
Can I flip it on you? What is your goal in life?
My goal is to get super famous, a lot of wealth. Use it never for good. You know, take care of my family at the expense of anyone. And, you know, and then buy a large palatial estate somewhere in the mountains. Don't bother anybody. And, you know, if anyone comes on my property and they happen to get dealt with, wink, murder is what I'm talking about. Then stand my ground. That's exactly right. And eventually do everything I can to give Florida and most of the South back to the Confederacy.
I think you have pretty clear goals. And if you believe in manifest destiny, just the fact that you set it out there means that you're one step closer to achieving
it. I put it out there.
And I think you're going to.
Dude, thank you. God, this guy's great. Now I feel good.
Yes.
I'm going to get what I want. The South is going to rise again. And last thing, what's the worst thing about German people? I like to try and always end on hate, you know?
I'd say the spectacular loss in the World Cup.
Oh. Wow. Is that a soccer
that
reference?
That loss?
Yes.
That's Jesus. The loss we're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Against Brazil.
They lost to Brazil in the World Cup.
Unbelievable. And you're saying that's shameful because South Americans aren't people. Is that what you're saying?
Saying I'm very grateful that they hosted my parents in the most vulnerable time in their lives, where my mom was pregnant with me and they were escaping communism, and they hosted them and we were able to live there for 2 years. So it'd be a dream come true to go back to Germany and go to Hamburg, where I was born, to Marianne Krankenhausen Hospital.
So you haven't been back?
I haven't been to Germany.
But you've been to Poland 3 times.
Yes.
Well, so interesting.
Yeah. They already escaped communism in Poland. So now he can go back. And
they like to escape it, you know, once every few years.
Yeah. Whatever scheme he's up to probably still works in Poland. You know what I mean?
And who wouldn't want to go to Oktoberfest in Munich? That sounds amazing. Have you considered going to that?
Have you thought of Untoberfest?
No. Yes.
Right?
I think they call that Sober October.
Damn it, they do. He knows what's going on. There's nothing to be trusted about how trustworthy you seem.
That's why I have to be extremely transparent about all our transactions.
Yeah.
So I have a list of all of them right here.
All right, we're going to review the list. thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. It's honestly very fascinating. It does seem like there's got to be something going on, you know, behind the scenes that we don't know about, because it just seems too good to be true. But if anyone did steal and they're looking to make amends, by all means, this seems like a fairly legit way to either...
The most convenient way.
Yeah, like you can get it off your, you know, get it off your back and do the right thing, and or possibly fund whatever scheme Paul is up to.
There's no scheme.
Not even his real name, by the way. But,
not my real name.
But it is what he told us. And so we're going to eat these donuts. We're going to see if we die. And if we do die, you're the ones who witnessed it, in a way. So thank you. Thank you for coming on. Promote again, unsteal.org. And what's the highest amount you can give back?
$200.
$200's the limit.
Mm-hmm.
So if I steal $400 from someone, we don't do it.
I would reject your transaction on PayPal.
Nice. I respect that. All right. Well, thank you for coming on. Is there anything else you want to promote?
I'm just really grateful that you shared your platform with me, and I'm grateful for what you do for a living, because it takes a lot of balls to be a stand-up comedian and to grind it out. And you know, I've been just getting acquainted to you recently, and I watched some of your clips on YouTube, and I bought your album, and I think you're hilarious. And other comedians talk about you, like on the Tiger Belly podcast, they said, why haven't you broken through? And I hope you definitely break through from a selfish pursuit that I was on your podcast.
Sure.
And then that'll be my
this is the honesty that I respect. Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, I could meet Mark Norman. I think he's hilarious.
Okay.
I think it's one of my favorite up and comers.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah.
I get that.
I would say the only thing I would want to promote is to my partner, Terry, his brother has a podcast called Connection is Magic. I'd be really grateful if any of your listeners wanted to check out the Connection is Magic podcast with Samson Shulman.
Okay. And just so you know, Mark Norman, he stole $300 worth of stuff from, I'm not 100% on this, but I think it was Nordstrom's.
He talked on the Opie and Anthony show that he is a big thief, that he takes sandwiches from the airports all the time.
That's legal, though.
That he stole his shirt. I reached out to him.
From the lounge, those are free.
Yeah. Thing is that they charge like $18 for a sandwich, and in a way, they're stealing from you.
But I still really like him because he's such a comedian at heart, and always wants, he always says, comedy before he talks and things like that.
Yeah.
So just personally, his comedy resonates with me. And also, I love Shane Gillis, too.
Okay. All right. I like it. Man, yeah. Because, again, not what I expect from you. You know, you seem like a nice dude who's going to be, like, into Tim Allen. And, you know what I mean? Like, just, like, friendly. Like, oh, yeah.
Jim Gaffigan?
Yeah, Gaffigan for sure. But, you know, you're going with some wild cards, which lets me know that, you know, there are some ulterior motives to what's going on.
Once
here.
Again, yeah. I'm a flawed individual. I'm not here on a moral high ground, just an option of how to repay for your petty theft.
God. He stays on brand. He's good.
Yeah, I know.
So good. All right. So, again, if you are into, you know, making amends for the bad things you've done and you trust Polish people who were born in Germany and worked for Boeing, possibly during a time when they were making airplanes that don't function the best all the time, this is the guy. So, unsteel.org. They have a deal with Under Armour. So, again, a lot of suspicious things going on here. But thank you for being on. I appreciate it, man.
I'm really grateful. Thank you so much for your time, all of you.
Yep.
Very nice.
Yeah, check out our live show. I don't know if this will be out before then. But all right. So, yeah, come to the live show at the Comedy Store, March 16th. Tickets are, I think, $700 cash. Just give it to me when you see me. And come check out a show. Thanks, guys.
If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please DM Ingram Pod on Twitter. That's IngraHam Pod on Twitter.
Goodbye.
Special thanks to the Comedy Store and to Brian Rips for the dope-ass music.